superintendent update.
All right, well, first of all, thank you all for coming, and thank you for all your ongoing support this week. I'd like to welcome Colonel Dower. Poor guy, this gets to be his first meeting, welcome. And welcome to Wheatland, so welcome. Nothing like trial by fire. You know, this summer went very smoothly. I want to give a huge shout out to Tara Rose. Our summer camp had the highest amount of attendance that we've had. It was a record-breaking year. We were a little leery because this year we didn't use the base pool, and we weren't sure how that was going to affect us and if that was going to hurt attendance, and in fact, it did not. We had a really strong attendance this summer, and she and her staff go above and beyond to make that a really fun experience for our students. So that was extremely successful this summer. The start of school was amazing. It was inspiring. This year was a very new role for me. I'm not going to lie, I did miss some of that adrenaline rush of the first day and the hugs, but it was really inspiring to be able to visit all of the school sites and see the work that all of the staff across all of the campus pour into making that first day a magical experience. The hard work was not lost on any of us. From somebody that's been there setting up a campus on a first day, I understand what goes into that process, and our staff really does go above and beyond. I want to thank the board members. I know that's a crazy time of year for everybody involved. Some had brand new babies going to school and it was hard to get away, but they made the effort to be there to be able to visit those campuses and see everything that the teachers poured in, and the support was really important. So I just want to thank everybody for making that magic happen, because, you know, for a lot of our kids, that's the very first impression you have, and that you only get one opportunity to make that first impression, and it's important we make it stick. So thank you for all the effort that went in there. And professional growth opportunity news, this week has been a little difficult, to say the least. I honestly can't thank Chief Garlock and Nicole Newman just for their collaboration and their diligence and their work so that we can present a united front as we garner this uncharted territory and work to protect our staff and our students. They have been up at 3 a.m. We have had group texts. There's been a loss of sleep, but at no time was somebody not reachable or not collaborative or not looking at how can we help everybody. It wasn't, I have to do this for my site, I have to do this for your site. It is, what do we have to do as a community to make sure that our kids are safe? And I felt very blessed to be a part of that, because at no point were we an island. I want to thank our staff for their professionalism and their stewardship in providing a safe campus for our students. They've all stepped up. We've asked things of, hey, I need you up at 5 a.m. to walk a campus. I need you watching cameras. I need you to check at this time. And not once have I been met with, no, I don't think I can do that, or I won't do that. Everybody has rallied together to work to make sure that our campuses are safe for our students and to help set a tone, because the kids feed off the adult energy and they need to know that we're there for them and that they are safe. We will remain steadfast in protecting our students. We take that very seriously, and also keeping families and community informed as the investigation continues. It is an ongoing investigation. You know, we're told kind of what we can share, what we can't share, because they are trying to get to the bottom of it. But just know that I've seen a lot of comments about, well, I hope they're trying to catch this person. You can bet on it. And they've called in the big guns that have the more advanced technology. But this technology creature is a humbling thing when you start getting into AI and Google calls. I had no idea how complicated all of that was. So that's kind of where we are in a nutshell for the update. As far as enrollment, the good news with enrollment, when you look at the numbers, I provided all of the current numbers. Right now, district-wide, we're up 14 students, so we have an increased enrollment. This is the biggest Bear River's been in three or four years, we've almost hit that 600. We're three kids short of the 600 mark, and that we haven't hit that since, I think, 2013, 14. That was right when I started at Bear River. We are up one in the preschool. Preschool class sizes still remain small. You got to remember that TK shift in age really kind of threw preschool for a loop, so the classes are still small, but the enrollment is up one, and our numbers are holding well. If you look at the numbers, and I broke it down by class sizes, you know, with class size reduction, it's kind of this moving target now where some of them you're thinking, oh, they're a little bit large. Class size has spans, and that's why I put the G, what they call GSA, it's the grade span level. I just went blank on the A. I apologize. Adjustment, grade span adjustment. There's these averages that everything configures in, and when we break down all the averages on our class size, we actually look really good. It's about exactly where you would want to be in terms of maximizing your number and your space. Numbers are strong and in a positive. As far as our daily attendance, we were nailing it out of the gates. The kids were coming, classes were full, and then this week happened, and so the wheels kind of fell off that bus. We will be filing what's called a J13, which is an emergency waiver for attendance. I will be waiting as this process goes on, because if the threats continue, as long as there is a threat, it does affect that report. So I won't be filing it like today or tomorrow. We'll wait till we get to the end of it, because we can maximize that as it goes out.
Can I ask a quick question? I don't mean to backtrack a little bit, but I do have a question that relates to attendance and the situation, because I had, before I came after school and got some questions, and with the principals being here, again, this is, you know, you get calls and you're not sure how factual that is. Parents that are upset calling, they're of course wanting to keep their kids home for safety reasons, and I fully support that myself. I'm not going to lie, I support that. If you want to keep your kids home for safety reasons, you're uncomfortable, you know, all for that. Again, on the district side, I get it's funding, it's that kind of stuff, but I think we have to have a little grace at this point, and I'm not sure these parents are calling. They're like, well, if you don't get independent study and you don't get this done, it's going to be unexcused. And they're saying when they're calling, they're getting met with, and I'm not sure, again, the accuracy, because, again, this is how it's coming, and they're stressed. So
right.
They may be hearing
right.
It different.
So
but,
I can.
But they're feeling like, at this point, I don't care if it's unexcused,
right.
And I'm just trying to get through this week, too. I'm making other arrangements for daycare. I'm taking off the work, and you're worried about me setting up independent study,
that's,
and we don't know where they are. So I just wanted to get
none of the absence from the point that the threats have happened, none of the absences are unexcused. They are excused.
Mm-hmm.
Some families have asked for independent study. If you don't ask for independent study in advance or by the end of the close of the day you're absent, we can't allow independent study. And that's not us doing anything because of the threat or anything else. That is the new state mandate for independent study.
It just seems like we're adding,
so,
by adding independent study, and I get the state mandate,
right.
But these teachers are going through a lot of stress too, on
right.
Top of, I mean, I commend you for everything, don't get me wrong,
right.
And I appreciate everything you're doing, I appreciate everything the staff's doing, but now we're gonna put on an extra load on the secretaries, on everybody else, and on these teachers to get this together when they're already trying to manage a whole stressful situation to have to get this. I mean, it just seems like a lot to me and a lot on the parents. So
we can't deny independent study if a parent requests, because
uh-huh.
There is a law that goes with that.
Mm-hmm.
We have not told families that they have to ask for independent study in this time. We're only providing, and we've been very clear at all the sites, you only provide independent study right now if the parent asks, because we do plan on filing for the J13.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they do independent study or not is probably not even going to be relevant in this particular situation,
But we have some families that are adamant that they want their child to have the work while they're home, or they're worried that they're missing the classwork when they're home, and they want that for their child. So we can't not provide that to them, but nobody's counted as unexcused. And we've been very clear at all the sites. The big question has come with the independent study. The other question that came is because we have a field trip that is coming up with some of the attendants. The kids are anxious because if I miss more than 3 days, I'm not going to get to go. And that's what they were told prior to this. Mm-hmm. From the point that the threat has happened to the point. Now, it might be a little sketch if all of a sudden they feel safe enough to come to school on the day of the field trip and they haven't been there all week. But we're not going to punish the kids as long as the threat is current in there. Once the threat is over, once the threats have not existed, we do expect the children to return.
Well, and it's also not the kids' fault, because there might be kids, like I know somebody in this room whose kid wants to go and their parent might not feel safe sending them. You know, it's not their fault. You know?
Exactly. So we've done everything we can to accommodate the different perspectives, because I get it as
okay,
a parent.
I just want, and I figured, like I said, once it comes from here to here to here, you know,
yes.
I just wanted to.
Well, and when you're anxious and you're hearing things, mm-hmm. and independent study can be very confusing, and that is one of the reasons we have the handbook here. That law did just change. We used to backdate it. We used to let you call in. We used to be able to do those things. You can no longer do that.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about how the attendance is per classroom before the teacher continues on with the curriculum of the day. If they only have half of the kids in that classroom because the other half is out, do they continue on, or do they do busy work until they get the class back?
Well, they're gonna continue on. You can't just pump the brakes for the whole year to be able to go on. So that is a choice. So the curriculum's gonna continue. They will miss. And I don't think any of the teachers are pushing, like the last 2 days. I'm pretty sure they're not pounding anything really hardcore right now, because you've got to set the tone and you got to make sure the kids feel safe. And our teachers are very good about navigating. Yes.
May I ask, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Justin.
No, thank you. That was a question that was arising from my standpoint.
May I ask a follow-up to that?
Mm-hmm.
If there are students who have missed several days because mm-hmm. of this, and they've missed that instruction, and they feel like they're needing help, do we have something in place where we can give them that supplemental assistance?
Yes, we have after-school homework, care, or AI, those types of things that could be brought in where the kids get accommodations and remediation. Everything is leveled. So there's leveled math groups, there's leveled reading groups, there's groups throughout the day at the school site. So depending on what they need remediation in, there's plenty of opportunity for them to do it. And just like I say, this, we're early enough in the school year that we're not advancing. Most of it is review at this point anyway, just trying to get the kids back in the swing, get them going, get them doing schoolwork again. Most kids have not missed anything exponential at this particular point.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. There's no more questions. We'll move on to the CBO report. Anna.
Hello. Good afternoon. Good evening. Thank you for all of you being here and giving me the opportunity to give a CBO report. Just wanted to inform you that you know that everything's going well on the fiscal front. Members, one payroll and one is an accounting technician.
It has been one fun thing after another. So, and just commend Anna. She took on the role that some of you are new in the audience. Our payroll person left about 2 months prior to the end of school. We ended up doing settlement with all of our unions, so that added an entire cycle of payroll. So not only did Anna get to be CBO, she got to do payroll, and then we brought in two new people. So while she's doing all of that, she got to train two new people on how to do all of those roles. So you talk about juggling hats. She did it with grace, and I really appreciate all the effort that she put into that. And actually, because of some of the protocols that she's put in place, the auditor was very complimentary on our visit. So I was very thankful for what she brought to the table. So we appreciate everything that she's been trying to juggle, because it was a lot.
And what you do is not unseen, because this weekend you were here very early and you were here very late. So thank you.
I know. They were calling, the gate is open. I know.
And so I want you to know it's very appreciated, because I go by a lot and I'm like, Anna's still there. It's early. Anna's still there. It's late. It's starting to get dusk. Anna's still there. You know, so thank you. Thank you very much for, I know you put a lot of time into training, and, you know, I knew with the payroll and all that stuff, and it probably pushed you to get your stuff done. So thank you very much for getting all that straight. So we do appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Even if we don't see you, we know you're good.
The gate was open.
Yeah. And then when I left the car, was that
I thought about walking in, but then I'm like, oh my God, what if I scare her? Or is she like, oh, you know, I don't want to scare her.
Well, she had Hannah for a little while too. So Hannah, yes.
President, Superintendent, members, good job this week. What a hard week, especially with all the threats. I know that it's been really on your mind, and as a father of two kids in this district and one in the high school, it's been weighing heavy on our minds too. A couple of things as we think about going forward with emergencies that just came to mind as I was reviewing. I got a phone call from one of the secretaries of the high school. I appreciate it. Call a check-in to make sure my son was all right. And we were talking about the fact that I was trying to move in Aries or allow somebody else to pick up my kids, and that was kind of a difficult process. I don't know if we want to think about maybe expanding out some sort of special situation for emergencies, catastrophic events, the kinds of things that we have here that we can expand that for other trusted, you know, people in the area. I know that I had a religious minister here that was willing to take my kids, but I couldn't get them switched over. And so that didn't apply necessarily here to this district, but it might be important elsewhere. I know we have a good relationship with between the school districts, and I think it's appreciated. But also, when the schools blocked off and the police blocked off Wheatland Road, the egress issues were also pronounced. And so maybe we've got to think about that as well in the future, and what are the alternative routes for parents. I live out in Camp Far West, so the bus situation could be challenging too. And I understand that the buses were delayed with a time given for those to start, but I don't know. I don't really know when the buses, what routes are hitting at different times. It might be good to have some sort of staggered schedule for the buses, or we can say between 10 minutes per stop or 5 minutes or whatever, so that parents, when they hear it starts at this time, they know what step they're at, so they can plan accordingly to get their kids there. And then also too, I think as we talk about the egress issues, got the Latter-day Saint Church over there, which was a good partner, I think, in this communication. They have a back wall that a lot of kids jump over to get to the high school on a daily basis. It's been a problem. I know the district owns that property behind. We may want to have a conversation in the future about how to access that better, so we don't have kids jumping in fences, especially if we're in an emergency situation in the future. So just some thoughts to think about. But again, hats off. It was really a difficult situation, but there was a lot of really good communication, and I appreciate that as a parent, so thank you.
Thank you.
And speaking to those, so thank you for all those comments. In all honesty, that was one of the discussions that Justin and I had, because we didn't know what time the dogs would clear the campus. We didn't know what time. That's why we called school, is because we heard comments like that. So, you know, it's horrific that we're in these situations sometimes, but the issues that they bring to light so that we can plan right. better in the future is really helpful. So
and
I
one more thing to add to it, I was on the website today to look at the parent handbook. There's a small section on emergencies, and mostly has to do with work and that kind of stuff. We may want to have a section in there to readdress the emergency protocols that the district will go through. Again, it's refined right. in the line of fire, but I thought this week went well as it could
right.
Under the circumstances, so something to think about.
And yeah. At the church at the back, we'd have to look at that, because that might be Yuba County Schools, because that's where Virginia School is, so that might be a conversation with them, because even the track is Yuba County's, mm-hmm. It's not ours.
Sure, so having that conversation,
so
I think.
That might be Yuba County Schools, but I know they do jump that fence and all of that, but that
and they've broken part of the fence on the other side, so yeah. That private property owner, I belong to that church, so
yeah.
I know, and I deal with it all the time. There's a lot of trash through there.
Yeah.
And these kids are jumping over a 6-foot fence,
yeah.
Right? And, you know.
Because I know people have come to us before and we're like, that's not our, you know, that's not our
the
area.
The church is willing to have a conversation. I can relay it to you.
Yeah, I would go to the, I would talk to Rob Greger, the Yuba County Soup, because that's their area and that's their thing. But I know they've always been worried about a kid getting hurt, and that's a legitimate conversation. And the trash, because you guys are so gracious to let them park in there,
yeah.
Let them use it for everything.
Well,
it's so kind. So.
Yeah.
And one of the conversations that did come up that will unite everybody together is they are looking at doing like a joint task force that we do once a month, because the church was gracious and let us use that as a relocation or a point of command. During the incident. And so what they talked about doing was bringing them in with Yuba County, with the emergency services, and all of us planning together so that we can collaborate resources and make sure that we have a defined phone tree, that people are communicating, and that we have this backup. So, you know, you never want this to happen, but like I say, sometimes the small blessings that come out of it is it gets people talking and uniting and aligning resources and opening those doors to have that communication. So
yeah,
I'm hopeful.
In my previous position in the church, I was authorized to say that we were willing to work with you. I'm no longer in that position, but we're happy, but still right. able to relay the message. We're happy to have the conversation about, you know, what's a less invasive gate
yes.
that we can do through our pass-through. Again, so motorcycles and other things are coming through, but also you have the Junior Pirates that use on Sundays. Well, we have three congregations that meet
right.
on Sunday. So when they had the big football tournament a couple weeks ago, it was a little more congested for our members. We're happy to be good neighbors. It worked out fine, but the better coordination and conversation we have, I think, between the two
yes.
helps out everybody.
I do too.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Any other communications from the public?
welcome back to school, everybody. But thank you guys. Like everyone has already said, thank you, your staff, all of the police and forces and Beale and the church, everybody really came together. And that's what we have to do. I appreciate that. We all do. Let's see. The PSMI, the Facility Reassessment for Lone Tree and Wheatland Charter. Thank you, Angela. Thank you. Superintendent Galker, should I say. And Ms. Jody Jacklett for getting that feedback in. And I've sent it up to him, and so he's taking a look at it, and I will let you guys know what's going on. I know.
Thank you. Thank you for my very first heart attack of the new position.
She did.
I didn't know what it was, and all of a sudden I got that.
No. Yeah, sorry for the heart attack, too.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. But anyways, thank you so much. And the Alpha Solutions, they're not the ones that actually make that decision. They send their report on to the Office of Secretary of Defense and OLDCC, and I can't remember all the other acronyms there are, but are federal. And so they'll take a look at it. Currently, right now, Lone Tree and Wheatland Charter are number 85 on the list.
Okay.
So out of all these building projects that they have going on in different states, and there's a whole line where you can even go on and take a look at who's up and how much money do they get and everything like that too. So I hope so. Okay. We're hoping so because
it's
they
the third time
I'm because I think the first 71 facilities have already been granted funding or invited to participate. So we're at 85 guys. So we're looking forward to it. We're always hopeful that funding will come down. And there will be some support as well. They'll also have support to help you guys find any additional to match that 20% or whatever. But 80% is great, though.
Mm-hmm.
Also, with everything that's been going on, I just wanted to let you guys know also that we do have a military and family life counselor that's on base if families need her. We also have some adult MFLAG, they call them MFLAGs, that also work with families together. So if they need support or anything like that, please let us know. I can send you guys all the numbers. I think you probably have all the numbers. But I can send
yeah,
you the
I
numbers.
Got her on speed dial.
Yeah.
So those please. Of you that don't know, their MFLAG is actually one of our former Bear River students and graduates of Wheatland High School.
Yes.
So she knows the area quite well. And.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
And we are so grateful to have her. And so she understands what it's like to be a military kid.
Mm-hmm.
She
understands the
entire,
yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
understands
the
district.
Military,
yeah. So we appreciate her. So please, yeah. She's like, use me. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm here. Speaking of MFLAC, so I did put in to try to bring another one to help maybe with the schools. So what we're doing is, right now, the Office of OSD, Office of my brain, OSD's currently does not have the funding for it.
Okay.
Our federal funding is not there, so
yeah.
Sorry about
I understand.
That. But I did try. I always push it up to our higher headquarters,
mm-hmm.
and but I just will keep doing it. And they just say, keep asking, so I'll keep asking. Because there is a need. Also, there's a need. Plumas Lake would like to have the services of MFLAC as well. So they had told me that about a year ago. So we had asked back then too. So I'm keep on asking. And if you have any little snippets or little scenarios or data or anything you want me to help push in your favor, please let me know. I'll push it. I do not mind pushing. So what we're trying to do, since my office is located in the housing area,
mm-hmm.
what we really focus on STEM coming up this year. We got the air show coming up. We have expo day, the day before the air show, we're going to do an expo day where we will invite schools to come. You guys have been through this before, and it's just so much fun. But this year, what we're also going to do is do a STEM, or STEAM, should we say, because we got to put the art in there, competition. And I'll send all that information out to you guys on Monday. And it's for grades TK through 5th, and they have a certain thing that they can do and build. And then they break it down by 6th through 8th, and then they do the high schoolers.
Can you tie that in the statement?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Okay. Absolutely. So I'll send that over to you guys, but it's a good way to get everybody revved up before the air show is here and get them excited about actually having their beautiful creations and their designs actually judged by the commanders as well as some of us. So that's going to be really cool for us too. Another STEM thing we're doing is that we were able to get $1,900 in STEM books. We got them all ordered, and they're in my building. And we're opening it up to the parents. We're going to do like a lending library to get everybody really kind of going on with STEM. Also, we had about $3,500 that went to our library. They're on base, and they have beefed up their STEM area as well. So we're really stemming out this year. Oh, we got to get you another one. Okay. We got to get another one. Last but not least, Impact Aid survey forms. I know this is that time of year coming up soon.
I've done my last two trainings on that.
See? Uh-oh. And who will Nicole be doing that? Who's going to be responsible for that? Okay, Nicole. And if you guys need any help or support, we love our families, but sometimes just kind of helping them remember to turn that paper back in. It's important, and the funding is important. And I have a nice one-pager, actually two-pager, that actually explains to parents exactly why, you know, and so we get that out to the parents as well.
So thank you.
You guys. So any questions about anything? No.
Thank you.
Once again, thank you guys for everything. And if you need me, you know where I'm at. I don't mind coming over.
Thank you, Annette. Okay.
Thank you.
No, I appreciate it. Okay, on to the consent agenda. Are there any questions or comments or concerns?
I do, but my computer took a I don't know.
You got mine?
I don't know. Mine's downloaded. So if anybody has anything before the bills and warrants, go ahead and ask it. If anybody has any questions before that.
I have one on the payroll.
Payroll?
TSA Consulting Group.
That's their money that we're holding.
It's their money.